Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dong. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Is your family being impacted by the big, brutal bill? Is your small business hurting? Are you concerned for your children's educational future? Are you struggling to afford childcare? We want to hear your stories here on the Maggie Dawn Show, and we've created a special email and phone number so that you can tell us your stories, because you matter and we all matter. That email address, again, is wematter@civicmedia.us, and the special dedicated phone line is 855-755-0771. Tell us your stories. It is also, of course, the hour during my program when we are engaging in Civic Media's multi-state text to win, go for the green and gold contest, the word that you want to text in to get registered to win $200, gold jewelry, or pair of tickets to the Green Bay, Minnesota game on November 23rd. For this hour is quarter, Q-U-A-R-T-E-R. But we are in the middle of my, dissembling, maybe not dissembling is the wrong word, complete rebuttal of Charlie Kirk's nonsense and the rhetorical tactics that he used to make himself appear reasonable, to give people an excuse to say it's about context or he doesn't sound that crazy, when what he was circulating was some of the most debased bigotry that never should be part of mainstream political discourse. Now, we're going to play this next sound because it's a big theme here. Remember, Charlie Kirk is a community college dropout, okay? And he would go on these college tours and debate undergrads. Take a listen to this woman kind of calling out Charlie Kirk and his bizarre response.
Do you feel proud of yourself for debating college kids who are unprepared to speak in front of an audience like yourself? Hold on. You're 30 years old. We can agree you're 30 years old, right? Do you think that's a little bit silly?
How is it any different than a professor talking to you?
Well, Charlie, it's different because you don't have a PhD. You're not an associate professor. You're not tenured tracked. You have no peer-reviewed studies. You have no academic background at all. No basis on which to argue anything other than your litany of falsehoods, lies, misdirections, and just shock value rhetoric. And if you haven't heard of the Dunning-Kruger effect, this is where people of a very low competence or information level think that they know a whole lot and overestimate their own abilities because they really don't lack the ability to deal or to recognize their own deficiency. It's basically a mismatch between confidence and competence. I can think of no better example of that than Charlie Kirk. By the way, Charlie Kirk, the guy who constantly called university and college educations a scam, and by the way, that's really weird too, because I'm pretty sure every single one of the president's kids and every cabinet secretary and every single one of their kids, they all basically go to Ivy League colleges and universities, and everybody in the elite right wing wants their kids to go to Ivy League universities. So while they're sending their kids to Ivy League universities, which are less and less attainable or affordable to regular people, they're telling all the regular folks, like, you don't need to actually be competent about, you know, these very detailed, nuanced, advanced sort of learning modalities. It's fine. And in fact, Charlie Kirk has made arguments about this very thing with these very college students who are just learning some advanced thinking in their major areas or in survey courses. They're not equal debate partners, but let's listen to what Charlie Kirk had to say about higher education. This is the tactics of an inflammatory statement, authority framing, and a false premise all baked into one. Take a listen.
Does college provide skills to the most majority of people that go? Does a woman's study degree give you any skills that was going to help us fight China?
Well, you're taking, and I know why you're doing this.
That's a majority of degrees, and people that go to college are in the social sciences, are in communications, and they're in irrelevant degrees. A majority. So a majority of the 21 million people that are in college right now are there studying stuff that you and I would laugh at.
Okay, That's a lie. And it's based on this false premise that the only thing that might be useful in our existential battle with China are degrees that Charlie, based on all of his extensive studying, peer-reviewed, published articles, thinks are relevant. But to be clear, according to the National Center for Educational Statistics, bachelor's degrees confirmed from 2011 to 2022, the vast majority of those, 45% of them, were in business, health professions, biological and biomedical sciences, and engineering. Social sciences and history made up for only 7% of the degrees conferred in that period of time. So it's a lie. But then Charlie does, you know, the inflammatory, ridiculous statement with the specificity allusion to get everybody distracted and, you know, land a punchline in front of his audience. Take a listen.
Do you think that when we're looking at American competitiveness, studying North African lesbian poetry is going to make us more competitive?
How stupid. And he uses those same inflammatory, emotionally triggering, distractionary punchlines after laying down a false premise that has no relationship to reality at all, and he just repeats them ad nauseum as if that completely specific, illusory nonsense actually supports his point, which again is a lie. Listen to him say it again and again and again.
If you ask me, we have way more than enough people that studied North African lesbian poetry.
You go to Cal to go study North African lesbian poetry?
Yeah.
Like,
we have a lot of people going to university to go study North African lesbian poetry.
Because they're willing to send their kid to go study North African lesbian poetry at Arizona State University?
My goodness. By the way, seeing a headline pop on the New York Times that it looks like the Trump administration is either firing or defunding the National Council on Humanities, because understanding history, literature, or art, that doesn't enrich American lives at all. But again, same stupid baloney, just repeated as nauseam, all of it based on a complete lie and fabrication and untruth. Now, here's another tactic that Charlie Kirk liked to use. And remember, he appeared hundreds and hundreds of times using these well-honed punchlines, laugh lines, these false premises, and debating, frankly, unprepared undergraduates. And he framed it all up, and this is what conservatives like to point out all the time is, oh, but he was such a fair debater. He was so calm and engaging. But remember, his appearances on these college campuses drew out many thousands, typically, of his supporters, large and boisterous crowds with MAGA hats and cheering him on. And so it was never really a fair fight for those undergraduates that would get up to the mic. But boy, it sure did make Charlie look good. Take a listen.
Guys, please don't heckle. I want to try to understand, because these words have a lot of meaning.
Yeah.
But you can't get, I know it's hard on the spot. I just want you to think about it, because if you say Trump is a racist, you should be able to easily give a definition of what that word means.
Charlie, how reductivist do you have to be? Racism, where a dominant group tells another group that's not dominant that they're not worthy of the same rights, access, privileges, jobs as the dominant group because of their race. Racism, perpetuated both on an individual and systemic basis over hundreds of years. But boy, he seemed like he was, you know, reasonable and calm. But let's talk about abortion and what Charlie Kirk had to say about that. Again, this will be Charlie Kirk stating something that is a lie, acting like it is a fact, therefore setting himself up as an authority on the subject. But all of it is ultimately just a red herring, but it trips up the young woman that he's arguing with. We'll go through it all. Let's listen to this.
What happens if you need a medical abortion? If the mother will die if she does not get an abortion,
so
what's your stance on
that? The only place where medical abortion is necessary is before 20 weeks, which is incredibly rare.
What if she will die? What if the mother
will die?
Hold on a second.
What? Okay. Medication abortion generally is approved up to 10 or 11 weeks. Medical abortion in the second trimester is more complex and more difficult. But here's this, folks. Abortions after 20 weeks are rare. They represent about 1% of all abortions in the U.S. So really, if we're having a debate about abortion access, why would you use the 1% to define the entire contours of the argument? So he's lying. And by the way, he's implying that you would never need an abortion after 20 weeks, which is also a lie for the following complications: preeclampsia and eclampsia, placental abruption, placental previa, severe health conditions, folks that have cardiac or renal disease, intrauterine infections. Sometimes there can be lethal fetal abnormalities, severe congenital malformations, chromosomal anomalies that you don't identify or diagnose until after 20 weeks. These are all things that would actually make a discussion between a woman, her family, her doctor, and her faith advisor completely appropriate. But let's listen to what Charlie says next.
So let's take, for example, like, this is a very important question. Let's say it's 27 weeks, okay? And the mother will die. Why shouldn't, you could agree, why don't we just have the baby delivered by cesarean section? You know what a cesarean section is, right?
Yes.
What is a cesarean section?
A C-section?
Yeah, why wouldn't we just put the baby out by C-section instead of terminating it?
A complete straw man argument. A C-section is far more risky than an abortion. And a C-section doesn't do anything to alleviate many of the medical problems that I just listed. It's a baloney argument, and he just doubles down on it. Listen to this.
Because if the mother will die, it's not safe to do that.
You remove the baby.
I understand.
Threat removed.
I know what a C-section is.
But it's actually safer than an abortion. So every time they say this is for you guys, they say, oh, you need to have abortion for medical reasons. Respond, then have a C-section.
Here he is appealing to the crowd without actually responding to the argument made by the brave young woman that's actually debating him. And by the way, the video of this is quite illustrative because she's surrounded by a bunch of MAGA hat wearing young men. It's a little intimidating. But again, he doesn't respond at all to her very valid argument that the woman's life is still at risk. And by the way, the rate of medical complications during C-sections is more than four times that of abortions, according to that little organization and research published by the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology. And then we'll get to when Charlie Kirk analogizes abortion and the Holocaust when we come back. Because these rhetorical tricks are tricks and manipulations. And you deserve to understand what's going on. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked right here for This Discussion Continues on the Other Side on the Civic Media Radio Network.